that roller coaster.
Yeah, 12:40 a.m. WSBC. This is the Hoolies Hoolie.
Hey, what's up? A little slow off the bat there.
Welcome. Never slow.
No, I'm just
pacing ourselves.
I'm pacing, yeah.
Yeah. Holiday weekend is over. One more month on the next one. I shouldn't say that. We got Father's Day coming up.
It's 30 days till Guns N' Roses.
Is that how you mark it down now?
Less than 30 days.
You're counting your summer down by the GNR days?
Yeah.
I actually told my boss we were sitting down for a sales meeting, and at the end of the meeting, he was like, all right, what's everybody's vacation looking like for, first week of July and all that stuff? So this one guy's like, no, man, I'm taking it off. And this other guy was like, and he's like, oh, that's it. Nobody else can take off 4th of July or the day after 4th of July. I'm like, wait. And he said, yes. I was like, I haven't taken a vacation yet. I have 2 weeks owed to me plus 3 more personal days. I haven't taken any yet. And he's like, I know, I understand that, Bill, but it's kind of seniority driven. I go,
ow.
I'm probably going to be going to Guns N' Roses. And this is what I said to him on July 4th. Would you like me to come to work the next day? And he goes, no, maybe you should probably just take that off on the 5th. I said, see, understand? I'm not going to be very, I wouldn't be very productive the next day after.
You wouldn't be able to hear anything.
My first time, probably the last time to ever see Axl.
Yeah. You'd be like, what? You'd be like, Bill, get the files. What?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I don't know if it's for sure that I'm going yet. Like, I talked to a couple people.
It's the 3rd, by the way, so you just got 2 days off.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll still need the
4th. Just tell him it's the 4th.
I'll need the 2 days.
You won't know.
Yeah.
It'll carry over into the 4th.
Is so the 3rd, I haven't even looked at it. Is the 3rd a Saturday night?
That's a Sunday night. It's a daytime matinee.
GNR's playing in the afternoon?
It's possible. I don't know the details. I'll have to consult.
What do you wear to the GNR concert? Do you like go like kind of like, yeah, I'm a hipster. I wear jeans and a GNR t-shirt. And
do you wear a GNR t-shirt?
Or do you go
t-shirt?
Dress like Bill is right now? Like kind of Bill's kind of like Urban Meyer on Saturday afternoon.
Bill looks like he's going to run drills in about 20 minutes.
I got
like
the shirt at Burlington Coat Factory.
Let's describe what Bill's wearing.
Bill has a nice athletic
It's a half zip. Short sleeve,
half zip windbreaker shirt.
Windbreaker red with gray trim, Nike swoosh in white. It's something that honestly, like the defensive back coach of Ohio State is wearing right now on his couch.
Probably. It's quite comfortable.
You gotta wear that to the GNR concert. The irony of that is that, like, that's what Axel's gonna come out in.
Who knows?
I'm gonna just wear.
And everyone's like, what?
I'm gonna just wear spandex and no shirt.
Yeah, that'll work too.
The people watching will be fantastic. I'm sure it'll be just as good as what the people watching for Irish Festival was like this past weekend.
Yeah,
that's
you
right.
Went.
I did.
How was it?
I was moving.
It was great. Well, you know, I mean, I can't do. First of all, I was a little hungover
when you got there.
Yeah, my dad's like, I'm like, well, what time are we gonna go? Because we were
never show up to an Irish Fest hungover is the rule.
Well, my dad's like, just have a beer.
Yeah, and I was he's like, right.
And I was like, well, hold on a second, man. I go. Who's going to go on the ride? Now, we were watching your daughter, Charlotte.
Yeah, because I was moving.
And my dad was like, at first he told me, hey, we'll pick you up at...
Charlotte is 6 years old, by the way.
Right.
And loves, and is a little bit accent like hyper around festivals, you know?
Sure.
Well, she went to Irish Fest last year for her first time and just like fell in love with it. So,
yeah, because they have like Shetland ponies and crazy rides.
Yeah,
and
they have a lot of cool stuff going on. And she... Apparently, Dad said that she woke him up at 6 a.m. on Saturday morning and was like, are you ready to go? And he's like, we're not going till like 2 o'clock. She kind of like threw a fit, like 2 o'clock.
Yeah,
and I get this phone call from Dad at 11:30 in the morning. He's like, hey, we'll be over at your house at noon. I was like, you told me you were picking me up at 2.
Yeah.
He's like, change of plans. We got to get this kid over there and on these rides. She's driving me crazy. And I went, all right. So he picks me up. We get out there, and immediately, I've never seen anything like this on a 6-year-old kid. She goes to the most challenging roller coaster ride. I don't even know what you would call it. It was called the Screamer.
Yeah.
Nice.
And this thing went up probably about 200 feet in the air, and then like it would stop in the midair, and then you would teeter-totter to one
side.
It's
like you're
on
a boat with a big stick on it, and it just swings the boat upside down.
Sure. Eventually, it goes completely upside down. I can't do those kind of rides.
Come
I felt like such a wimp. At one point, she was yelling at me like, please come on this with me. No, because no one would sit with her because they didn't know her. And I just stood there and was like, nope, 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 nope. Either you can get off the ride or, you know, you can tough it out.
Uncle Phil doesn't do roller coasters.
No, here's the thing, though. I went on, she went on the first one off the bat, and I was like, hey, how about we go on the dolphins over here? Go on. And she was like, no. We're like little
dolphins
kids.
Are lame.
I'm looking at her. I'm going, little kids, you're six. All right? Yeah. You're going on the rides that like the 15-year-olds are going on.
Well, you know what?
And you're 36.
And the fact is that she's... I can't go on them. Exactly. And the thing is that she's tall for her age.
Yeah, she is.
So she can get on these rides that normally any six-year-old wouldn't be able to get on because of their height. And...
she's tougher than you.
That's what it comes down to. Probably what it comes down to. Yeah, I was like, nope. And
you know what?
I went on one of these things.
You know what would have made you, given you the courage to go on the ride and not toss your cookies?
What?
If you had eaten a bowl of McCann's Irish
Oatmeal. You're absolutely right.
Before you left the house.
If I had had some of that.
In line while you're waiting for
Yeah, if you were just chowing down on McCann's Irish Oatmeal, you'd be like Popeye.
Just ripped the lid off.
You'd have been able to go on every ride.
Yeah, I know. I mean, just some McCann's Irish Oatmeal and some 90-degree heat over on the Gaelic Park Festival grounds.
What's better?
That's right. You're listening to the Hooli's Hooli. This show is sponsored by McCann's Irish Oatmeal. Let's take a quick commercial break and come back after these short messages.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today. Available at your local grocery store.
Putting your future in the hands of a lawyer can get personal, particularly in personal injury cases. You've got one shot at justice, so you're going to want a guy who thinks like you. Tom Gorman is Southside Irish all the way. He grew up in Holy Redeemer Parish, went to Brother Rice, and yeah, he got a ride to play ball at Notre Dame, played on the undefeated 1988 National Championship football team. After a shoulder injury ended his career, Tom stayed on with the Fighting Irish for his master's and law degree. Tom won the American Jurisprudence Award for trial advocacy at Notre Dame Law School, and he's been a trial lawyer ever since. Tom's practice is devoted exclusively to personal injury and wrongful death. Sure, he's won $1 million verdicts for his clients, but his focus remains on those families and their futures. Tom and his wife, Christine, have lived in Beverly for almost 20 years. And they're raising their five kids in Christ the King Parish, Brother Rice, Mother McCauley, and their oldest son is now at ND as well. Lots of folks have to deal with tragedy. It's good to know there's a guy out there you can count on who will be in your corner to protect your family. You can call Tom Gorman directly at 312-345-7210 and tell him about your situation. Or go to the website, www.gormantriallaw.com. He's a good guy. There's no charge for the consultation, and you'll meet a new friend that's ready to fight for you and your family. Call Tom Gorman today at 312-345-7210 and tell him your story.
Flood Brothers Disposal was started 80 years ago by their grandfather. Today, 15 members of the family still work together. And as in their grandfather's day, they're service-oriented and believe that the only way to do something is the right way. Flood Brothers are price competitive, so you can count on them to exceed your expectations. So contact Flood Brothers for a quote on your solid waste, recycling, and yard waste collection services. And remember, their motto, your rubbish is our bread and butter. So call Bob Flood today at 630-261-0400 or at floodbrothersdisposal.com.
Yeah, your rubbish is their bread and butter. Go to Flood Brothers. You got garbage, you got to get rid of it, call the Floods. They'll take care of it.
Yes, they will.
They'll take all your garbage.
This is the Hooli's Hooli. We are back. It's 1240 a.m. It's Saturday night.
Hey, I want to get back to Irish Fest just for a little bit.
Yeah, go take us back. Take us back to Irish Fest, please?
You know, I guess that when you go when you're 21, when you go out there, and for those of you listening, you know, obviously Irish Fest is held at Gaelic Park every year.
Mm-hmm. It was last weekend. We're speaking about Memorial Day weekend.
And
go next year and every other year.
It's cool. It's a great time. But the afternoon crowd is completely different than...
Yeah, it's family orientated.
Yes and no, though. Like, I mean, I think it's funny. A guy told me a joke. He's like, do you know where the Irish air conditioner is?
No.
The bar. It's like that's where everyone. I mean, it was a beautiful day.
I thought you were going to say then he farted on you.
All the adults. No.
I like that. That's creative.
But all the adults were hanging out, in the actual center. They weren't even like hanging out outside.
He dances away.
And it's kind of funny. You go from tent to tent. They have Irish dancing going on in one tent. We went and saw a magician in another tent.
Was it an Irish magician?
I don't know. Yeah, no such thing. I guess.
Look at this. I make 15 of these beers disappear.
No, he wasn't like that. He was a nice man who had volunteered to help the community out for that day, and God bless him for it.
Now, but listen, was it too hot?
If you were hungover, it was too hot. If you were, fine and just chugging down waters. I think I probably drank like 18 waters, it seemed like. But at the same time, I mean, that's $36 I spent on bottled water. You know what I mean?
It's like, ridiculous. All right, now you were saying there was two.
There were two musicians in Charlotte. I never got that into magicians as a kid.
Right.
And apparently Charlotte isn't either because the first guy was like boring us and Dad kept being like, sit down. And she kept kind of like trying to walk up to the stage. And then the guy was like, and coming up next, there was another guy. And he was a little bit younger, and he looked like he had some better equipment. You know what I mean?
He got better magician magic stuff.
Yeah, and it looked like it was going to be more of an elaborate show.
Right.
And Charlotte walks up to him before he starts the show, and she's like,
"What's up, dork?
Are you going to need any volunteers?" And he's like, "Maybe." And then she turned around, and she goes, "Well, I'm available, And she turns around and walks back over to us, and we're like, "What do you say?" She said, "Maybe." She goes, "Let's get out of here and get on the rides. I'm done with this guy." and we left, and Dad kept saying, "If you mention those rides one more time, we're leaving. He kept doing that as like, behave yourself, or we're leaving. Finally, I said, "You know what? Let's just get her on the rides. I'm going to tire her out." She went on the screamer 5 times.
Yep.
But I went on, the one thing that reminded me of it, the reason was the
Bill's
end of my day.
Bill's having nightmares about the screamer.
Yeah,
I couldn't do it, man.
And he's a good uncle.
We went on this one ride.
Take her on the screamer, you sissy boy.
Yeah, where you get strapped in.
Quit crying.
Right.
Take her on the screamer.
Yeah, take her on the screamer.
Take her on the screamer!
But I kept having this...
She's a little girl!
I kept having this horrible vision that if I had gone on the screamer...
You'd barf?
I was going to barf all over... like 20 little kids.
You'd start smoking on the screamer.
That would have been great.
No, just because it was going to hurl and it was going to go all over these kids. And then I was going to get off the thing and be like, "Charlotte, you're on your own," and like run.
And everyone would be like,
car.
That's him right there.
They'd be like,
that's the radio boy. He just threw up. Radio boys threw up.
Yeah.
Coach just threw up over everybody. Look at him in his fancy shirt.
Look at the coach in his jacket. He threw up.
Here's the thing. I didn't fit the part because first of all, the way these young girls are dressing these days.
Ew.
Holy. Here's the thing. I looked.
You are. There were tattoos
and Daisy Dukes everywhere. Obviously, it was a festival.
My kind of stuff.
And on 12-year-olds.
Yeah. That's what it looked like. I mean, it was like one kid had a t-shirt that said straight out of Oak Forest.
I like that.
What were you wearing when you were 12?
I don't know. I think I had a Bacardi Limon shirt that I used to wear quite a bit. I don't know. Does that sound weird? I was like, I'm going to wear an alcoholic beverage shirt.
Yeah, you're wearing Marlboro shirts. At least that kid's got hometown pride.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Give it to him. Just don't
But
judge.
It was a black t-shirt. I was never part of the black t-shirt crowd.
I wore a black t-shirt yesterday.
Did you? I haven't worn a black t-shirt in ever, really.
That's part of the Memorial Day feel, man,
The festival thing?
I guess. It's Memorial Day to me.
No,
is
I
like,
don't know. It's the summer in general.
I had the typical
shorts,
Memorial Day.
Shorts, tattoos, cigarettes, hot dogs, and hamburgers.
That's America.
Yeah.
Wait, what was your Memorial Day?
It was just typical, like, went to Wisconsin, went to a lake house, barbecue.
That's nice.
Boat rides and...
Get on the boat? All right.
Played baseball catch.
Okay, I'll take the boat.
You played baseball catch? It was just like, you guys sound like you're the Kennedys at Hyannisport or something.
Not far off.
Yeah.
We played baseball catch and took the boat out for a little bit.
Except no one died.
That's great. That's great.
Teddy, put her on the screamer!
Teddy, there's a gorilla in the backyard!
Oh, gosh. Here we go.
Memorial Day, yeah. I moved all weekend. It was very stressful.
So I drove by your place today and I was trying to figure out, where exactly did you move to? So I know where your old place is. Is it the same Like row?
They're townhomes. They all look the same. A lot of people refer to them as the River Forest
Project. So
are you
closer to Harlem?
It's like, you were now you got an identical unit. You moved from like this unit. It's like, yeah, I moved four rows over.
I moved from building A to building B.
Two spots down.
Yeah.
They're like parking spots. Four rows over, two spots down. That's where I live.
So it's the same layout.
Yeah. It's nicer.
Much nicer though than this old place. Nice. I had to go and check it out.
I have to come look at it.
Yeah.
You're done moving, right?
Yeah.
All right, so now I can come.
Now the packing begins.
The unpacking, Haley's done a pretty good job. We still got a few rooms to unpack, but
who helped you move?
It's a livable space here.
Well, he's off gallivanting on the screamer.
I hired Lupe to move me.
Lupe Fiasco?
Never mind Lupe. His name is just Lupe, and he's my moving hookup. And he does a great job.
And?
He brings his crew with him.
Did you have lunch with him?
No. What happened was I took 2 days off before work, so I took Thursday and Friday before the weekend off to help my wife pack. You know, she's got two young kids. Like, she can't pack the house up by herself. It's too much to ask her.
So you had a five-day weekend.
Yeah, I had, like, a one-day weekend and a four-day move is what it felt like. Because two of those days were, like, my wife and I bickering at, like, Home Depot about what size boxes to get and stuff like that, you know? Uh-huh. No, you got to get this. No, we got this and that.
I don't want to talk about
it. Right, yeah, exactly. Oh! You know? Yeah.
And then you walk 20 feet ahead of her?
No, it's like, let's get Chinese for dinner and then not
and
pack.
And then pass out.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, but we packed a little bit, but not as aggressively as we should have. Then Lupe calls me on Friday night after 2 days of pseudo packing. And I felt like I got a lot of stuff packed up, except for that basement.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Which turned out to be the never-ending basement.
Yeah, toss stuff.
So I got everything, you know. He calls me. Lupe calls me at like 10:30 at night, right before the move. I'm about to hit the sack. He wasn't supposed to come till like 4 o'clock the following day.
Right.
I was like, let's do it at dusk. It'll be cooler. They'll finish it quicker. Maybe not. Might be their third job of the day, but they're not going to be on like a time crunch, you know, like where I only get them for a window of a couple of hours.
They'll get monsters in.
I'm like, so he calls me and he's like, yeah, there's been a lady who canceled. I'm going to come by like 9 or 8:30 in the morning. You know, I'm like,
not prepared.
I turn to my wife. I'm like, he wants to come at 9 in the morning.
You can't say no.
And she goes, well, that gives us an hour to get the truck full, a couple hours to get the truck full before we go and get the keys to the other place. So I was like, all right. So I'm like, yeah, come on over. And I knew it was going to be a long day because as soon as like Lupe walks in with his crew, he goes, man, you got a lot of stuff. Ooh, I'm like, oof. I'm like, yeah, let's. He goes, we're only going to get the big stuff. Once noon hits, we're gone. You know, I'm like, all right, hurry up.
We're only
get
going
the big
two
stuff.
Doors down, so who cares?
I was going five rows, two over.
It's about a block, almost, it seems like.
But you can walk the little stuff is what I'm saying.
No.
Nothing was little.
No,
I went over there and looked. I was like, have fun.
You need a wheelbarrow.
The amount of stuff you accumulate in like 3.5 years with children is mind-boggling. All
you
the crap.
Throw it out.
I couldn't believe it. I was like, but broken
make sure
toys.
They see you throw it out.
No, I had to do it under cover. I took the Barbie dream house and I kicked it and smashed it in half and took it outside. Because it was broken and like getting in my way all the time.
Now you're saying that you didn't tell mom that. She spent probably about $300 on that for a Christmas gift.
No, I bought the Barbie dream house, pal.
It's been demolished.
You never told ma that you broke your dream house.
Don't tell me if I
find I broke my dream house.
I'll tell you one thing. If I find find out that you destroyed that Nintendo Wii or whatever, I'm never speaking to you again. That thing was the most expensive Christmas gift I've ever gotten to anyone.
Yeah.
If I find out that it's been smashed or the controllers have been broken, don't even tell me. It's going to upset the heck out of me. I don't have any children to vent at, so I'll just vent at yours, and you won't like it. I'll hold it over their head forever.
You're a nice guy. I'll hold it over their head forever.
I'm not kidding you. Those are expensive toys, man. Those things are like $300 or $400.
I know. How much was that Urban Meyer shirt?
This was $14 at Burlington Coat Factory. Thank you very much.
You paid too much.
Burlington. They got shirts at Burlington
Coat Factory?
Here's the thing.
I'm getting in and out of my car all day long, and I got to be, when it's raining
so
out, first of all, I don't have any air in my car currently.
Yeah.
I need to breathe, all right? I gotta breathe, or else I'm gonna kill someone. I'm gonna go postal in like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So
well, that's real nice.
Your car.
Speaking of going postal, that certainly did happen over the weekend here in Chicago.
Yeah,
Clay, what was the count on shootings and homicides?
Shootings, I don't know, but 54 deaths, I believe.
I believe it was over 60 shootings.
Well, yeah, 54 people died. Oh, then.
66, I think they said, shooting or something like that. The odds weren't good for the people.
54
deaths. Probably hundreds of 54. Shootings.
54.
Yeah, we got a serious problem going on in the city of Chicago right now, so...
But you see no national news coverage on it, you know?
No,
everyone's
none.
Talking about the gorilla.
That's right. The gorilla The gorilla at the zoo. They had
all the gorilla had to do was hand the baby back to the lady, and he could have gone about his day.
That's all he had to do.
That's it. Yeah. He could have gone back in his little cave there and had a sandwich.
Right.
And that's it.
If it had been Sigourney Weaver's gorilla, the kid would have been, you know, everyone would have been misty-eyed.
Speaking of...
What if it was a gorilla baby and a human? What if the tides were turned?
Right.
Yeah.
Then who do you shoot?
Okay. That's terrible. Oh, boy.
You know what? Right, I think that, just real quick about the gorilla thing, I think that there's a lot of blame going on these poor parents of this kid.
When
I think, you know, it should be pretty impossible for a kid to get anywhere near a gorilla in a zoo. So put up a gate, a cage, fence, whatever you got to do.
It's true. I kind of agree there. Yeah.
The enclosure thing was 3 feet tall. If a four-year-old, whatever, can get. Maneuver his way into there. That's
oh, no problem.
Your kids could do it easy.
It should be impossible.
Sure. Yeah,
it
should not.
Field
you're right.
Zoo,
it should
impossible.
Right.
You know, you can't even.
You should just
do
get,
it.
You get zapped or something before you even fall in.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Speaking of people's safety,
hey, God bless the gorilla.
The CPD's
season.
Got some new. They got about.
How
100...
about just getting rid of zoos?
Yeah,
that's the point. It does, you know.
Hey, want to give a shout out to some of the new Chicago's bravest and finest.
Yes,
about 100 new coppers.
Yeah,
going to be joining the department this week, and then 70 new Chicago firefighters. I want to give out a shout out to my good friend Mike Richide, who just graduated from the academy.
Get
guy
to work.
Guy waited 9.5 years.
Yeah,
to come. So God bless him. He deserves it. He's going to be in the same house with our good buddy Jimmy Amator.
Aye.
And over Engine 104 there in Hegwisch.
Yeah.
So good luck to you, Mike, and thank you to all those guys who went through the academy and sacrificed the last 6 months of their life so that we could be safe every day.
That's right.
Especially those guys that are wearing the blue uniforms, the Chicago police. Because they got a very tough job ahead of them, and
they do.
It's quite dangerous out there these days. So our prayers and thoughts are with those guys as they enter the police force this year, and hopefully they all return safe.
Yeah.
How do you solve the shooting problem?
You know, it's weird. It's like it's everywhere. Like, I was reading the police blotter. I'm like, somebody got shot at like Narragansett, like right by you.
Yeah, they're getting shot all over the place.
Yeah, it's like, everywhere. Oh.
They shot at TBK on Harlem and Foster right near me, or Higgins and Harlem right near me.
Really?
And then there was a shooting a block north of me on Nina and Catalpa, I believe, or one of those streets. There was just an off-duty cop shooting someone who was trying to steal a car or something.
You know, according to the...
Do you think stop and frisk, like to do New York, would be a good idea here?
I don't know. No.
Probably not.
Why?
I don't know.
Because the paranoia that exists at this point is like, shoot and ask questions later, man. Do not. It's like me or
you.
Walk
up to a group,
it's Wild West.
A group of guys in there, you recover 8 guns in a night, and you do that 30 nights, you know.
Yeah, but the amount of guns on the street is just—it's astronomical.
Well, who's the new?
The thing is, when you take 100 off the street, 1,000 are already back on the street.
Oh yeah.
So it's like you're.
What's the name of our new police commissioner? Do we remember? Is it? Is it
Eddie?
Eddie John? No, is it Eddie John?
Is
no,
it Eddie?
It's Johnson.
It's Johnson.
Is it Herbie Johnson? Or no, Herbie Johnson was.
What Officer Johnson? We'll call him. How about that, Chief Johnson?
Okay. Well, anyways, he was on.
He's the new guy.
Yeah, he was on the news, and he was telling us that out of all the shootings that happened over this past May, and he said, I think he said, of the people that were actually shot, 90% of them had gang affiliations.
Oh yeah.
All right, and he said of the 100 people that they had in question,
you know, we
100% of them. Yeah, he said, here's a matter of it. We know who these guys are. They're all repeat offenders. It's just continuing. He said the problem is getting the illegal guns away from these guys and locking them up. He goes, we can't just lock them up, you know, on suspicion or anything. You know, we got to catch these guys in the act or catch them with them. The problem is that these guys are just, you know, these street gangs, they're just rotating pistols all over the place. You know,
this is what you do. I could solve the problem. I might run for mayor.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think I can because I got a checkered past, but.
Not after your comments about the zoo.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'd have a gorilla in my cabinet. ahead of my security.
Yeah.
So you attack it from, like, the standpoint, like Giuliani did with the mafia, like the RICO style. You know, sure. Where it's okay. Like affiliation. Well, you're guilty by affiliation.
Well, I think they are doing that already. They just had a big, big gang bust last week.
If they
week.
Can take down, like...
Well, that's how they took the Gangster Disciples down with Larry Hoover and all those guys.
Yeah, but they're still out there. I mean, they do it half, exactly. Kind of half...
Well,
speed.
The problem with these street gangs is, I mean, you got kids that are first of all, kids are born into it. It becomes almost like a culture to them. It becomes almost like a religion within their family. For some of these guys, they have no choice whether or not they're going to join the gang because their mother or their father may be in this gang.
And then their school shut down on top of it.
Well, it's everyone. You know, there's just it's hard to combat. And hopefully, we find some sort of a change of heart within the Chicagoland community, especially those who are engaging in this kind of activity. That they'll learn that peace is the better option rather than killing
and
people.
Eventually, it'll be you who gets it instead of dishing it out. So remember.
Well,
that.
That's the thing, you know. Like you're walking around, like for the first time ever, really in my life, I'm actually like driving down the street, like with my head on a swivel. You know, like you're in it.
Hey, you know, I'm thinking about it. I watch the news every day now, and I think about my sales territory where I'm at. I'm going, you know, thank God that I'm going, you know, that I'm going to mass these days because there's a guardian angel looking out over my shoulder. I can read the media. I can read the press every morning about a shooting that happened two or three that happened literally block or two blocks from my accounts.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Then
anywhere
that,
in the city.
But then you come to understand
safe.
This is going on all over the city. It's not just I mean, it's
near
everybody,
me.
And it's like wow.
It's north
you
side.
Know?
It's south side. It's everywhere.
On the next episode of Liquor Soldier.
Liquor Soldier. That's a great. It sounds like a great idea.
Yep.
Okay.
He's a man. He sells Jack Daniels in sketchy neighborhoods. He's dodged more bullets than Audie Murphy.
He doesn't need air in his car.
He's the Liquor
He's
Soldier.
He's that hot. He's that cool.
Uh huh.
Open the episode up. It's like, it's kind of
linebacker
like,
coach by day, liquor soldier by night, running drills and drilling criminals.
Right.
Chugging bottles of Jack,
rolling kegs at people's feet.
Uh huh. Smoking heaters, doing the whole thing.
Took out a whole gang of guys by rolling some kegs at them.
Uh huh.
Anyhow, you know what? Everyone's just got to relax, put the guns down, pick up a microphone, an instrument, get your rage out that way, you know?
For sure.
Right.
Axl Rose style.
Yeah, whoever.
Shame
you know, rap, do whatever you got
to
do.
Hey, I think it might be time for a commercial break, do you?
Sure. Yeah. We can go to a quick commercial break. You're listening to the Hooli's Hooli. We'll be back after these messages.
A vending machine? Sure. A parking meter? Okay. A slot machine? That's kind of the point. There are some machines that you have to pay to use. An ATM shouldn't be one of them. With total access checking from your Wintrust Community Bank, every ATM nationwide is free, even ones outside the network. With the fees you'll save, go on, buy a candy bar from that vending machine. Get our total access special offer at wintrust.com/TAC. Members FDIC, equal housing lender.
Big Guy Sausage is located at 7021 Roosevelt Road in Berwyn, right across from DeJewel's. We serve blue-collar gourmet food. That means Italian sausage, Polish sausage, Chipotle sausage, bratwurst, hot dogs, burgers, Italian beef and sausage combos, prime rib sandwiches, bacon-wrapped cheddar brats. Hey, what else you want? We got it. You ain't gonna leave here hungry. We're right down the street from Fitzgerald's. Come on by Big Guy Sausage after the Hooli's Hooli or before. Or call 708-317-5213 and we'll have it delivered or ready for pickup. Ask anybody who eats here. It's awesome. Big Guy Sausage on Roosevelt Road in Berwyn. Big Guy Sausage, sorry, we don't serve weenies.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today. Available at your local grocery store.
Yeah, McCann's Irish Oatmeal. Go out and get your some hefty oatmeal for your stomach today.
That's right. Yeah, you kind of lost yourself.
Get you some hefty oatmeal. You lazy bum.
This is 1240 AM WSBC. You are listening to the Hooli's Hooli. Welcome back, Saturday night listeners.
Yeah, hello. Yeah. Welcome. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having me,
Thanks
Pat.
For joining us.
Yeah.
So we were talking about Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah, but that's behind us now. So we got to talk about what's going on in the future.
That's next.
4th of July is coming up next.
Got Father's Day coming up. That's the big thing.
Yeah, I'm excited for Father's Day.
You know what I can't wait for, to tell you the truth?
What?
Just because of the line of business that I'm in is from, I feel like from April to July 4th, it's like, you know, normally it's, you know, Easter, Mother's Day, Father's Day, Memorial Day. It's like for me, for my job, every week it's like, you got to sell in the Memorial Day. You got to do the Father's Day. Yeah. You got to do the, and it's like, mm-hmm. Oh, come on.
What are the Father's Day booze promotions?
Old Granddad.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. Right. No, Woodford Reserve, you know, any kind of high-end scotch, any kind of high-end bourbon, any kind of high-end, you know, whiskeys, all of it, so that...
It's Dad's Day. Get us some high-end stuff.
Believe it or not, I mean, it's a great opportunity to sell that stuff.
Sure.
But just the amount of stuff that you hear from...
get him that expensive scotch, maybe a shotgun, too.
Yeah. Yeah. We were going to play a song. We were talking about Memorial Day. But you go on. You're saying that you're just running and gunning.
And I tell you one thing.
People
love
to drink.
They do.
Yes, they do.
It's obviously got to be a nerve-wracking thing, obviously, for my buyers that I deal with, too, because the amount of pressure that they have coming down from corporate levels telling them, the amount of programming that has to, you know, it's like you take in product, and then you might not sell through all of it, but then you got to break down displays and set up something new for a different holiday every 3 days.
Sounds like Bill's disgruntled.
Yeah, it's enough to make you go nuts after a while. But
between that and not having air conditioning in your car, I probably have 3 kills under my belt.
Yeah, well,
you're like Michael Douglas in Falling Down. You're like that close.
Oh, I'm close to that. Yeah,
uh-huh. That's my wife's favorite movie.
You forgot your
way.
Briefcase.
I was on my honeymoon.
You forgot your briefcase.
I was on my honeymoon in Hawaii.
Yeah.
Real quick. And mm-hmm. I tell my wife's like, let's watch a movie. I'm like, okay. And so I'm like, go down to the desk, whatever. I think they got DVDs. You could just pick whatever you want and come back. And she comes.
Where'd you guys
back.
Go on your honeymoon?
Maui and Kauai in Hawaii.
Okay. Nice.
And she comes back with Falling Down. And I'm like, what
it's a
is
romantic
this?
Little flick.
Like, what is this? She's like, oh, this is like my favorite.
Oh, this is a movie where Robert Duvall plays
and
a police
I knew
officer
at that
and chases
point,
an insane Michael Douglas throughout I knew, LA I
knew
on a bad
at,
day.
I knew right at that moment. I married the right woman.
There you go.
Well, I got a song, I guess, that can speak volumes to all the wild and crazy stuff going on in Chicago's streets this summer. Here's The Clash.
I fall. it's time for sports with Bill.
Take it away, thanks. Bill. Yeah, Sox, man. They won today on a walk-off by Matt Albert. Well, not a walk-off, but he had a Fat Albers. He hit a leadoff double in the 13th inning against the Mets to
win the game.
To win the game, pretty much. I mean, he got
That was today. That was Wednesday. It's Saturday night.
Yeah, so they've won two in a row after their atrocious May, shall we say.
Yep. So that's May seven in a row they lost, and then two they just won in a row.
Right, and we're still only, I think we're a game and a half out of first place, so we're sticking around. I think everyone was having a huge panic attack, and I'm trying to tell everyone, it's May.
Streaky.
Well, it's streaky. I mean,
you have another bad losing streak like that, you can kiss your butt.
There you go.
Bye.
You know, because, you know, here's the thing. The Cubs are playing at a record pace. So I think that the focal point here in Chicago is that everyone's looking and seeing what the Cubs are doing, and they're drying, they're trashing the Sox. But it's like, hey, the Cubs are on pace that no team in Major League Baseball has ever done this before. I mean, they're gonna win. They're on pace to win like 115
Didn't the Mariners,
20 games.
The Mariners did something like this.
They did. I think the Mariners won like 110 games. That was like the
and then
record.
They got smoked by Aaron Boone.
Then
and
they
the
got did nothing happen for them in the world. You know, they never made it to the World Series or anything like that. So. It's a long season. Southside fans, keep your heads up. There's a lot more baseball to be played.
Yes.
Cub fans, congratulations to you. It looks like you're going to cruise all the way to the playoffs. But I don't know. I mean, you've said it before, Clay. You said neither team will what?
Well, yeah, that's a fact. The fact is that the Cubs will not win the World Series.
Okay. Okay.
I said it now.
Yeah.
I said it 6 months ago. I said it in 1981.
Yeah.
You know, I was
the NHL finally, now we have the NHL Stanley Cup is finally underway.
Which I've actually been following still.
Okay, yeah, so we got the Pittsburgh Penguins and the Sharks. Yeah, I mean, although a lot
it's
of people
a good matchup.
I know. I'd like to see Joe Thornton. He's a longtime player of the San Jose Sharks, but he was traded at one time from the Pittsburgh Penguins. He was, like, supposed to be their poster boy player for years, and then Sidney Crosby came along, and he kind of got pushed off to the side. So.
Yep.
To win this series, I think, would be like redemption and revenge for him against his...
We love revenge in America.
So do I. That's why I want to see Joe Thornton win. I want to see them beat the Penguins. And then we have Steph Curry and, you know, the Golden State Warriors. I mean, what a comeback.
I've never seen anything like that.
So they were down, what, 3-1 in that series, and they come back and win it?
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Crazy. That Klay Thompson guy, probably because his name is Klay, he hit like 12 3-pointers in that one game.
Yeah, and then what do they call those guys? The Brothers?
Splash Brothers.
The Splash Brothers, yeah. So you have those guys, and they're going to be taking on LeBron and company from the Cleveland area.
Which I don't think it's going to be interesting because last year it was the same matchup.
Right, yeah.
But it was Cleveland minus Love and Irving. So
that's
now
true.
Those guys are back.
Yeah.
And they're all gelling pretty good. So we'll see if it's going to be as nitty gritty as it looks like it's going to be, which I think it will. It's going to be a complete war. So if those guys can make those types of shots, they're going to be hard to beat. But LeBron is LeBron.
You know, I was Sunday and I was, it was Sunday night and I was laying down in bed and I threw on, you know, the Stanley Cup playoffs were on and I went, I can't believe it. You know, it seems weird that the Hawks aren't in this right now. But then it dawned on me, I can't believe the Hawks used to play this late into the year because that whole time span of when the Blackhawks are in the playoffs, it just seems like reality is not existing around you in the time because all of a sudden, you know, you're not looking at you're going Memorial Day weekend and the Blackhawks are on.
Yeah.
I don't even remember Memorial Day weekend last year.
I got married on June 22nd.
And
I missed the game.
I remember we went up into your hotel suite to get away from the crowd for a minute, and we watched like the end of the third period in there.
In our tuxes.
On your wedding night. So,
yep. And it's nice that the Blues aren't in it either.
Yeah, yes and no. I would have liked to have seen. I would like to see the team who beat the Hawks be the champion. But in a perfect world, yeah.
No, you don't want to see that.
Yeah. So, you know, they have St. Louis has got a lot of big free agents next year that they have to sign, including their captain, David Backus. I think that's how I pronounce it.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of free agents and moving and shaking, the Bulls are talking about Noah being gone.
I know, yeah. So,
which will probably happen.
Maybe. I don't know.
I think once he leaves, he'll probably take a couple guys with him.
Probably.
I think Taj Gibson will leave as well.
That whole the Bulls are in disarray.
Maybe they'll get Kevin Durant and Westbrook just on a whim.
Who knows?
I don't even
depends on how much
Bulls
money they have.
follow them.
I'll tell you this right now. Someone's job is definitely on the line if there's a lot of shakeups going on. Because they were terrible last year. They were picked to win what place? They were picked to be the number two team in the East, and we don't even make the playoffs. That's bad.
You know, if Trump could become president, there's no reason that we can't just redraft Steve Kerr to play on the Bulls again.
Right. Bernie Sanders resurging in California.
I'm never quitting. Yeah. I am a badass. Yeah. I'm going down.
You know, there's actually been a glimmer of doubt for the first time in a while that maybe Hillary is not going to be it.
Yeah, now they're talking about the new guy jumping in. Did you hear about this?
John Kerry. Is that what you heard?
He's an Iraqi war veteran. I forget his name, but he's might run in as an independent and kind of throw a wrench into everything. He's never run for office before, but they're already talking about him.
He wants to throw a wrench.
He's just some guy with a beard.
Now, does he want to throw a wrench regardless who gets nominated?
Yeah, it's so sad.
Yeah, there's more to it. I'll get to it.
Yeah, we'll
get
to that in a second.
Does he want to throw a wrench into the fact that regardless of who gets the Democratic nomination? Because we already know it's going to be Trump.
Well,
is he going to run as an independent?
He's running as a conservative independent.
Okay, so he wants to be the other alternative other than Trump.
Correct.
And then... Well, yeah, I mean, because that kind of throws a wrench into Hillary's plans if she gets... It's everyone's plans.
Here's the wrench that's going to be thrown in Hillary's plan. That big, fat indictment that's going to come down from the feds in a couple weeks.
If it does.
I think it's imminent, to tell you the truth. It's from what's been reported, the feds are definitely going to have dirt on her and are definitely going after her. So you could see an indictment come down, and you could see it happen just in time for Joe Biden to stroll right into the nomination seat.
Uncle Joe.
Because he's been saying that for quite a while. So, yeah, the country's political scene is, I think everybody's already, had enough with it, you know? It's not even that much. There hasn't been a lot of talk about it lately. People are just
yes, there has. I mean, everything about Trump going...
Well, there's less people about now, so there's no more crews.
A couple weeks.
So now you're down. It's kind of boring now. It's like...
It is boring. It's died down for a little while.
It's like the cast of SNL that just took away, Farley and Spade and everybody. And
Sandler's gone.
You're stuck with
Nealon's gone. Lovitz is gone.
Yeah, exactly. Now you're stuck with Meadows and some other scrub.
Oh, come on. Meadows was great.
Yeah, he was all right.
I'm trying to think of some scrubs.
What it was Meadows,
Ladies Man.
Yeah, I didn't think that was that good.
You're stuck with Chris Kattan and
Clay goes right after Meadows.
Kattan. I'll go after Kattan. I saw Kattan in a pharmacy once. Scared the crap out of him.
You're talking about SNL people sightings now. Someone's going to play this walking dude character.
Yeah,
have you read about this? The walking man? I know, as soon as I saw his picture, it's big news in Chicago during the week, was there's a sort of a mascot type character in the loop. People call him the walking man or the walking dude.
I saw this, yeah.
He's got a beard, or he's got a thick 70s stash and long flowing hair.
Yeah, he kind of looks like Sam Elliott.
A little bit, yeah, exactly.
From Roadhouse.
Good call. Exactly like
that's
Sam
like the hair he's got.
Yeah, he does. Yeah. He does have that hair.
So
for those of you who don't know who Sam Elliott is, he's the guy who played Dalton's comrade in Roadhouse.
Sam Elliott's great. He's
in
the
Big Lebowski.
The omniscient narrator in Big Lebowski.
Yeah, he's also in Tombstone. He's fantastic in that.
Yes, he is.
But anyway, so yeah, this guy he's like a legend. He's been walking around the city for 30 plus years, and he's got his own story, obviously, and. But he was jumped and he was beaten by, was it one guy or two guys or?
I guess he got jumped on Lower Wacker Drive by a guy with a baseball bat.
Right.
But there has been kind of a GoFundMe thing going for him, and more than $32,000 has been raised to help the walking dude get back on his feet. His real name is Joseph Cromelis.
Did they catch a guy?
Is he homeless? What's the story
behind
him?
I think he's nuts.
Is he a transient? Yeah, how does this work?
He's walking
around.
Yeah,
he's a transient of some sort. He doesn't want any attention. So that's what's going on. So the donations have accumulated, and he's supposedly at Northwestern Memorial Hospital, but he's been using an alias or something like that. And the spokesman for the hospital, Chris King, said that Cromelis, when he first arrived, made it clear to the hospital staff that he did not want any media attention. King said Tuesday that there's no, you know, last Tuesday, that there's no patient listed under Carmelis' name at the hospital. This is the
Did they catch the guy who did it, though?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
No. So I guess, you know, they're saying here the story, Mitch Dudek wrote the story, our Marquette graduate
from
Sun-Times.
Oh, yeah, all right, Mitch.
He said the move would be consistent with Cromwellis' aversion to attention. He's rarely interacted with the thousands of people who have come to recognize his signature suit jacket, mustache, and flowing hair, always leaving observers wondering the origin of the story of the official, unofficial rambling mascot of downtown.
I've never seen the man. That's why when I saw it, I was like, who the heck are they talking about?
I've seen him hundreds of times.
Really? I mean, yeah. You know the other character they always like to write about is Samuel Chambers over on the African-American preacher on the corner of
State. This guy doesn't say a word, though. This guy doesn't talk.
No, he doesn't talk at all.
He walks, he doesn't make eye contact, and he just cruises.
Yeah, and I think people are like, whoa.
Which is even more
look at Steve
disturbing
Steve
that.
Steve Prefontaine has just been walking around Chicago. That's what he
but
looks like.
But that someone would harm that guy is really, really down and low and just beneath.
I'm sure that the person who harmed him probably didn't know that he was the walking man. I don't presume that, like,
Walking around with a baseball bat?
Hey, there's that walking man guy.
What are the Warriors? The Warriors all of a sudden just invade Chicago?
Is it 1970s Harlem?
Yes, it is.
The Warriors.
Yeah, it pretty much is.
I mean, we already talked about that earlier on the show. Did you see the garbage that was all over the beaches?
Oh, yeah, North Avenue Beach. I mean, just got just littered with garbage over Memorial Day.
Call Flood Brothers if you got garbage problems.
Yeah, this is true.
Yeah, I mean, respect the beaches, people. I want to take my kids to Montrose Beach, you know, but that's dog beach. So all the dogs poop in the water, so you can't go in it, or else your kid will get weird rashes all over his body.
Is that what they're saying?
Well, yeah. That's what happens.
I did not know that was the dog beach.
Keep your dogs and your garbage out of the water. Thanks.
Yeah.
Sincerely, father who wants to go to the beach.
I like that.
Yeah. Well, I'm sick of it.
Get your dog out that beach.
I don't want your dog anywhere near me.
Hey, they got any public pools over out here in like in the Edison Norwood Park area?
Yeah. Yep, Norwood Park. We have a beautiful pool. The only problem with the city pools, they're not heated, so it's freezing. It's like they drop a hose in it and let it roll.
Yeah.
So
that just means sanitary, probably.
But yeah, I don't care. It's going to be hot enough where it's not going to bother me.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Just dive right in.
So, yeah, Brendan, my oldest, has already taken some lessons. He's pretty good in the water. He actually enjoys it.
Yeah, cool.
So we're going to be spending a lot of time up there.
Hey, speaking of things to do with kids, there's the Irish School of Folk Music, right?
Yeah. They're having like they got like a camp this summer.
Yeah.
Nice.
For kids, right?
They also are holding art classes at the Irish American Heritage Center. Watercolor class for painting and basic drawing skills, that sort of thing. So you can check that out too if you want to take your kids over there. Get them a little creative style. See what they come up with. They might draw weird pictures of you, probably.
Yeah, so here it is. It's, hey, so there's still time left to, you know, sign your kids up for the Francis O'Neill Irish Arts Week Kids Day Camp and Adult Immersion Program. The Irish Music School of Chicago is presenting their 6th annual Francis O'Neill Irish Arts Week from June 26th to July 2nd at the Irish American Heritage Center. This is cool. We've shot this for a movie before, some of this stuff.
Uh-huh.
This cultural festival brings in master teachers for traditional Irish music, singing, and dance instruction for both children and adults. No experience necessary. There's also concerts, jam sessions, and a full day of musical experience all about Chief O'Neill. So kids ages 4 through 17 can participate in the Kids Day Camp. Well, they will learn so many aspects of Irish culture, including music, singing, dancing, arts and crafts, and more. Adults have many workshop options available too, Clay.
Sweet.
Give your kid yourself a summer to remember. Give your kid.
Come on.
And yourself.
Give your kid or yourself a summer to remember and a leg up on becoming the next Christy Moore, Michael Flatley, or Sharon Shannon. You can get more information at irishmusicschool.org. Irishmusicschool.org or call Kathy at 773-412-4082. Again, that number is 773-412-5082. And that's for the Francis O'Neill Irish Arts Week Kids Day Camp this summer. It's June 4th, 12th, 16th, and 23rd.
Get your kids out of the house.
Yeah. That gives you, for the June 4th.
No, I'm sorry. It runs June 26th through July 2nd.
Thank you. I was going to say that sounds a little early.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we got to get that gives you a little more time to sign up and get prepared.
That's right.
Then June 4th. That would have been tough. Yeah. So June 26th? Correct?
Yes.
All right. Just for our radio listening audience. Hey, Billy Lawless, Chicago's own, my old boss.
Mm-hmm.
He got appointed to the Irish Senate by Edna Kelly. Enda Kenny. I always have tough time pronouncing a lot of these Gaelic names.
We have a tough time pronouncing things in general.
Yeah,
we
that's true.
Yeah, tough time pronouncing cheese fries.
Yeah.
Enda.
Yeah.
Enda. It's hard. It's a hard name.
Congratulations to Billy and his family. I know he'll do a great job for the people of Ireland. Also, want to give a shout out to the Bill Gaynor and family. He was honored by Cork in Ireland, which is kind of cool. Obviously his reputation is being involved with the Sister Cities program and the Irish Trade Missions here in Chicago. Very cool. Cool honor. So congratulations to the Gaynor family and Mr. Bill Gaynor. And I'll tell you another thing. Those guys are always keeping it cool.
Yeah.
And
Keeping it clean.
And the one thing I've noticed, I try to keep it clean myself. And I cleaned my car this weekend because I knew I was going to be hitting up that liquor route. And you know what I put in there?
What's that?
Well, I don't know. Why don't you just tell me?
Well, Bill, you know, especially with no air in your car, it's getting hot in there, right?
That's correct.
So you got all those McDonald's bags and all that. They're steaming up. They're starting to smell. Well, it doesn't matter if you're in the old country with no snakes or the city of big shoulders. We live in a world full of terrible smells like skunks and sports gear and Bill's car, baby diapers and cigarette smoke. Unshowered CTA riders and worse. So when the stink gets too strong, turn to the power of FreshWave Natural Odor Eliminators. FreshWave products eliminate odors without the use of toxic chemicals or masking fragrances. Inside you'll find just plant oils and water, naturally destroying bad smells at a molecular level. FreshWave is safe to use anytime, anywhere, on any odor imaginable. So ditch those air fresheners full of harsh ingredients and phony floral smells. Choose natural odor eliminators from FreshWave. Available at Bed Bath & Beyond, Ace Hardware, Whole Foods, and The Container Store. To learn more about FreshWave and to find your nearest FreshWave retailer, visit FreshWaveWorks.com today.
Thank you. Did you hear Bill's phone go off there?
Bill, we need 25 cases of Zima stat down to somewhere in Gary.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's like an alert. Sorry, I mean, I had to change the... I didn't even realize the phone was on, so I'm sorry to my radio.
At least it was very unprofessional, like a news-themed kind of thing.
It's like an alert. Yeah. Well, it wakes you up, you know, and that's for sure. You're like, what's
Ohio
this?
State draft Bill Houlihan as coach. The Buckeye Weekly.
I was at a thing called the reset today at work where we go into a store and we reset their shelves for them. And it was me and three other guys. And early this morning, I was getting texts from other coworkers about stuff. And I should have just turned off. You know, I forgot to turn it off. This guy finally goes, "Who's getting those crazy texts?" And I was like,
"Bill was." And it's from one of them was from Steve Ames. I saw it just now. Huge win tonight! Exclamation point.
Yeah.
While we're taping the show, the Sox must have just like homered or something.
Yeah.
Everyone knows Billy loves the White Sox.
Yeah. So it was a huge win. I'll take it. Thank you very much.
Yeah, they got to rack up the wins, man.
Yeah.
Just keep winning, guys. Just do it.
You know, over the weekend, last Memorial Day, we were hanging out at our buddy Vince Mamelzer had a nice barbecue.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this was after I moved. My wife and I said, all right, we're going to get out of the house, have a couple beers.
Sure.
Baby Norton was up there, had a couple beers with baby Matt.
Uh-huh.
And we got to talking about, I don't know how we got to talking about, Norton was talking about venture capitalist guys, and somehow it evolved into baseball cards.
Yes.
Nice.
Yes.
And I have had a thing. So the topic came up of obviously Bill, we were fascinated by baseball cards growing
up. I think most of the guys our age, old millennials in their late 30s were way in. There was a baseball card boom in the late 80s, early 90s that has pretty much gone unmatched since the days of Mickey Mantle.
I think the reason
and the baby boomers.
Yeah.
You know? So
Yeah, if you try and hand a 12-year-old a pack of baseball cards now, I'll slap you right in the face.
Yeah, like, what's this? You know why? Where's my cell phone, dude?
You know why it came it came over me?
Bill turned 70 today. Yeah. He's been bad-mouthing the youth all day. Yeah. He's just sick of roller coasters and cell phones and crazy shelves.
I'm sorry, but no 9-year-old needs an iPhone, okay? You know, get out of here.
Yeah, give him a baseball card.
Exactly.
Anyway.
Give him a paddle and a ball.
Right.
Paddle ball.
Go get a slip and slide.
Go
have
outside and play with your paddle ball.
Yeah.
Play with your rock.
Okay, keep going. Sorry to interrupt you.
The reason that baseball cards have been on my brain most of the day, and I think that the reason that they evolved with talking to Norton at the cookout. Was I found my cards. I forgot while I was moving.
Yeah.
I hadn't looked at them in years and... That's the problem when you start moving. You're like, oh, look, my cards.
Yeah, and you sit there and look through
and
stuff.
And then you sit and you look through your cards for an hour and a half. And my wife's like, you're supposed to be packing. And I'm like, I think these cards are worth money. These are worth money. Like, we got to figure out if these are worth money.
Uh-huh.
They're not.
No, they're probably not.
Some good stuff in there,
I'll
huh?
save you the trouble. They're
Norton's
not worth
like,
money.
Beckett Baseball Card Monthly was the guide, right? And that's what I was like saying to Norton. I was like, where can we get our hands on a Beckett? I got to figure out what my cards are worth here.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I got good ones. I got like Hank Aaron and Willie Mays cards.
Whatever you think they're
really
worth.
Good cards.
Hey, the Hank Aaron was mine. Remember, we shared the collection.
See, right? Now the fight has already started. I'm bringing up the fact that the cards might be worth something. He goes, oh, well, remember.
Oh, wait, all
Hank
of a sudden
Aaron's
all
mine.
The old cards are yours? I can go through my collection right now. I don't have any of the old cards. You kept them in a separate book where we said we
you
were going to save
yeah,
this
yeah, they
together.
Were mine. I invested the money in the old cards.
You guys,
I got some of those old cards in my stocking, pal. They didn't belong to you.
You better get a lawyer.
I will get a lawyer. I got a Hank Aaron in there that's mine.
I got a Stan Musial. I got a Hank Aaron. I got a couple of Bob Uecker cards. These are mine.
They're worth nothing.
You can have the Uecker. It's not worth anything.
Now, before, do we know who's the most famous baseball card collector of all time?
Well, you've talked about it forever, Mr. Mint, right?
Mr. Mint.
Yeah.
Your idol.
I'm telling you, if you made a 30 for 30, except it was kind of like the Wolf, and Mike, our engineer, is like, no, don't make it a feature. It should be like a 30 for 30, and it should be.
Absolutely.
Is because I said, oh, it should be a feature, and you should shoot it like the Wolf of Wall Street, except it's all about this Jewish guy on Long Island who's like the greatest baseball card collector of all time.
You should do it because he's
and
probably
lived like insane, you know, like was kicking it on yachts with Pete Rose and...
He's throwing baseball cards around.
Yeah, I don't think he was doing lines or anything like that.
He probably was.
Yeah, he probably was. He was probably like, I need a satchel of yippee dust.
He's like, let me chop that up for you with a Ty Cobb.
Right. Yeah. I mean,
this card's worth $1 million.
This guy was
crazy.
Were
like, I can't.
Well,
Ty
but Cobb were we talking cards. About cards last week? Didn't you mention somebody had found a Ty Cobb recently? I don't know.
I found a Ty Cobb once.
You did?
Yeah.
No. Gotcha.
But we were talking. You know, we were talking about all the different brands: Bowman, Donruss, Fleer. Yeah. We're laughing our butts off.
Out of business. Out of business. Mm-hmm. Out of business.
Upper Deck.
I got a 1954 book of Bowman here. Let's find Hank Aaron. Hank Aaron creased. Next page. Because he's always like,
but Bowman.
The terminology for the cards was great. I have a VG near mint condition. VG stands for very good.
Right.
Yeah.
These are the category ratings. VG.
He'd be like, VG stands for not good enough.
Yeah. Well,
I bet you the guy's got a crazy story.
So what you're telling me is you're going to make a movie about Mr. Mint. This is what you want to do?
Either that or I'm going to go get my cards appraised this summer.
So it's one or the other. I'm going to make a movie about hey, so if any of you baseball card aficionados are listening, go get your cards appraised.
Where can I go to get my cards appraised? You know,
I don't know, man. There's
still
baseball cards.
They're
not really open
Mr.
anymore.
Mr. Mint on the horn.
We're going to call Mr. Mint next week and see and interview him for the show.
Is he alive?
His name is Al Rosen.
Is he alive?
Yeah, he's got to be alive somewhere.
Yeah, he's got to be.
Is this the right Mr. Mint?
Hey,
you're the guy with the cards,
hey,
right?
While we're talking about baseball cards here, we are wrapping up the show. It's coming to an end. Coming to an end. Stick around for the crack with Cooney and Keene following this program. That's with Gene Cooney and Kathleen Keene over at the Irish American Heritage Center.
Yeah,
7 o'clock on Thursday nights. Go there, check it out, and then stick around for the session afterwards in the Fifth Province Bar. That's about it, man. That's all I got for you.
That's it. You can find past episodes of the Hoolies Hoolie at www.freecrack.com. That's CRAIC.com. Thanks for being a listener. We'll see you next week.